Praise and thanks be to the Lord for the privilege that we can be here again to bring glory to His name and to thank Him for what He has done for us. And if we did not hear another sermon tonight, we would still have enough to remember to give thanks to God until the end of the hour and beyond. It is written, "Do not forget all His benefits." Sometimes we need to be reminded again and again. Often God uses certain circumstances to remind us anew what a grace it is in this time to be clear and sober on the one hand, and on the other hand, fully informed about what God is doing by grace. There are few people who have such grace before God. Basically, the elect flock lies in the middle of two extremes. Some do not go far enough, and others go too far. But the people of God go so far the Lord leads them. And they keep pace with what God is doing, without any fanaticism, without anything, but with deep gratitude in our hearts. I hope that everyone was blessed by the meetings, whether they took place here or in Hamburg or Hanover, that we can all thank the Lord for what He has done. We have been able to perceive the difference between the two cities, but know that God will come into His own, with all His own, no matter what comes or goes. The Lord will have triumphed over all in the end, and will perfect His own. This is what we have been contemplating. We believe with all our hearts that God, as Creator, completed His work of creation and rested on the seventh day from all His work, and the same God has become our Savior in Jesus Christ, our Lord, and He completes His work of redemption, as it is written, "In the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as He has declared to His servants, the prophets." No one will stop it. God Himself will see to it that it will come to completion, and that can only happen in Him alone. We have considered that all things that have come into being in the whole universe have come into being through the Word of the Almighty. And we have also considered that the Lord Jesus is shown in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, not otherwise than with His mouth opened and a two-edged sword coming out, which is the Word of God, that all things might also come into being in the Church by the Word. Without the Word, none of the things that have happened have happened. And so we have put our hope in Almighty God, who has opened our hearts and ears to hear what He says. We have looked at it. Many go along as long as the Lord does anything else. But when he talks to his own, and what he says is incomprehensible to them, then they leave and no longer follow him on the path. But there are people who like to hear his voice. They enjoy it. It is a people of God on earth who are destined to hear his voice and end up being something to the praise of his glorious grace. People who are simply kept in balance and who are not blown here or there, but walk the way of the Lord. For myself, some things go to my heart in these last days. When you see the things that God has done, and we have already looked at this too, that people can sit on the chair of a prophet without standing on the ground of divine revelation, on which such prophets of God have stood, without having any authority to do what they think they have to do. In Hanover, I noticed an elderly couple. They had been here before for a visit, and they suddenly got up and went out and took offense at the short clothing of the sisters. But in the end, they came and wanted to say something and used words in their salutation. This was not nice. And I had to think about it. You can have everything outwardly the way it is demanded, and if the heart is not consecrated to God and is not filled with God's love, then the outside can be right, but the inside does not have to be right. We know for a fact that someone, I think it was Brother Jackson from South Africa, you all know him, he held a service there in Tucson in December, especially for the sisters, and he told them, as an elder brother in the Lord, what was proper, and according to the letter, that's all right. And it was spoken of the long hair, of submission and obedience and all sorts of things. But be honest, sisters, the long hair alone does not bring obedience and submission. Something has to happen in the depths of our heart. You can have everything tip-top on the outside, and the Lord God certainly sees that, but he looks at the heart. If it is right on the inside and also on the outside, then we can only thank the Lord. But outwardly alone will not help us at the end of time. And when this couple wanted to penetrate me and tell me what to think, of course, I could only say that my commission is to teach the word of prophecy. Sometimes I talk my way out of things so as not to cause offense. But I could only see from what spirit such people speak. All of us who have heard God's word know what we owe to the Lord. We know what God has laid his hand upon in this time. And we don't even need to improve on that here with preachment. What God's word and God's spirit does not accomplish, we will not be able to accomplish. I mean that God has looked upon us in grace. And if there were something that was not pleasing to him, he would let us know. And his spirit would lead us to repentance. We have not come to the point where we look upon ourselves self-righteously or complacently. We want to please God in all things, cost what it may, that we too may reach the goal and be perfected by grace. The serious sermons of Brother Branham, which we all heard, touched our hearts. We have tried, with all that is within us, to do accordingly, and God has laid his blessing upon it. But as I said before, it is not the outward things alone, it is the inward connection with the living God, keeping pace with the work of the Holy Spirit. And may the Lord grant us grace and strength for this at all times. Surely, we have noticed that in recent times, the Holy Spirit has put his finger on the fact that we do not only speak one-sided about the ministry of the prophet, but find the balance and present everything that God has spoken, be it in the Old or New Testament, in a balanced proclamation to the people of God. We have said it, that the scribes took Moses as their special prophet, but they had only known the part of the law. That which prophets said, that which they spoke of, had completely faded from their mind. They had the part of the law. They held on to it and added commandments to it. They had not yet got enough. And the Lord says to them, ye have set aside the word of God and have brought in commandments of men and traditions. In contrast, all the servants of God have found the right word every time and have placed it. And that's what it is all about in this time. The placing of the word of God into what God does by grace. And as it was given to all the apostles and also to the disciples of Jesus, to place everything correctly, there was not one of them who said, I think or I mean, for them God's word was the guideline. They proclaimed what was written. When Matthew reported of the birth of Jesus, he said that it might be fulfilled what is written in the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall conceive, and so on. They knew all along, from Matthew 1 to the last chapter of the Gospels, what had happened then. When John writes in his, I think, chapter 20, when they were still trying to break the bones of the Lord Jesus, he says, they did not do that, that it might be fulfilled what is written, no bone should be broken in him. Until the last moment, they had scriptures that were immediately put into their hearts by the Holy Spirit. And they knew, here is Bible prophecy fulfilled. Whether a Peter, James, John, whoever they were, they had the answer from the word of prophecy every time, whenever something was at issue. In the same way, in this time, everything must be properly classified. And if nothing deceives me, God has given us this grace, not only to be enthusiastic, but according to all that God has done. And we know, and have said it often enough, as long as Brother Branham was alive, no one fully understood what God was up to. We knew something was happening. We saw, we heard. But the placing of these things can only happen afterwards. For instance, whether it was Mark, he writes of John, refers to Malachi and to Isaiah. When Luke wrote, he even goes so far, the Spirit of God dictates to him and says, he will be great in the sight of the Lord and cause many to rise, others to fall in Israel. And it is he who will turn the heart of the fathers to the children. He stops there, leaves out the second part of the verse, because it was not meant for that time. And so we see how all the servants of God, whether in the Gospels, whether in the letters, they have always been under the leading of the Holy Spirit to proclaim the truth to the children of God, to show them, here is this word fulfilled. And just as the Lord Jesus himself did, when the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, he read aloud. He did not need to scroll or search long. He read aloud the word fulfilled before their eyes. He told them, he says, today this scripture is fulfilled before your eyes. But they did not see it. And yet God had people who later remembered these words. They remembered everything that the Lord and Master had said. The scribes had Moses and their law, issued commandments, and enslaved the people. But the disciples of Jesus had the revelation of what Moses, of what was written in the Psalms, and what was written in the prophets. Not to enslave people, but to lead them into the liberty of the children of God, to show them the way to come out of bondage. As the Lord himself said in Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me to proclaim liberty to the captives. So we see that in this very last time in which we live, we must come back to the beginning. And it has been said over and over again, and very often, especially in the Pentecostal churches, the end must become like the beginning. And people thought of very great experiments that should be done so that something very great would happen. Brothers and sisters, the great thing can only happen if the Spirit of God succeeds in placing ourselves and the entire word correctly in terms of the plan of salvation and in teaching the church accordingly. Expecting great things without this divine placing will not work out for anyone. We know and have often said, only where God's Spirit can work, where He can put things in perspective, where he can give instruction and revelation of the Word. Only there is it possible to come to the unity of faith. Only there can the unanimity that existed in the beginning be revealed. And that is our main concern in this place. Not only to preach a sermon, but to come back to it again and again, and to place what God has done in this time. We have certainly noticed that when a Joshua referred to Moses, it was not to enslave other people or to be something special, but only because what God had begun under Moses was then to be brought to completion. It was part of the plan of salvation that had to be fulfilled at that time. And the same God was in the same course, leading his people out with a mighty hand. And it is very simple to understand. I think it's a sermon where Brother Branham says Joshua parallels Ephesians, where the church was ordered with the ministries, with all that God put in it, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. In the time of Joshua, the land was divided. Each tribe was given its place, and the tribes that had already come into possession of the land on the one side of Jordan could not rest until they had helped the others, until they too had taken their land. It was a taking of the land, a placing. Each tribe had its land, its possession. Everything was ordered as God had planned it. In the same way, it happens now in the church. The biblical order, the placing, that everyone has his place, that one does not stand on the other's feet, but everyone knows where he belongs. That's how it was back then. And faith was great among them, because they had received the promise. We have the same faith in this time. The same faith. And we have already said this too. Joshua no longer spoke of a pillar of fire, because God said everything that was to be said. The instructions that then still came, we know that very well. God also testified there as being alive and present. But on the whole, the word had been given. And when it was necessary, the Lord had given instructions along the way he had to walk with the people. We do not want to get personal, but the same God did not abandon his people. The same God who led and guided then has been with us in a way that we can hardly grasp or comprehend. And if there is no Joshua or Moses here, it doesn't matter. What matters is that the same God is here, and that there are people here who trust and believe in the same God and allow themselves to be placed just as the children of Israel back then. Everyone got their share. No one went empty-handed. One helped the other, and they stood together. And it was one of the greatest times that the children of Israel experienced after the Exodus. It was the taking the land, coming into possession of the fruit, into possession of the promise that God had made. We will not rest until we come into full possession of what God has promised us in this time. And we know that the people of Israel were later driven out of what belonged to them. But God had promised them that at the end of days He would bring them back to the land He had given to their fathers. And this is fulfilled before our eyes through an act of God, not that anyone contributed to it, but when the time was fulfilled, God also paved the way for it and opened the doors. And in the same way, parallel to the people of Israel, the Lord God sent a message to the church, which He purchased by His precious and holy blood on the cross of Calvary, that they too would return home to the land of promise, and that it would be distributed and placed by God's grace in this time. We have been able to observe this development in the course of the past years, and have seen that the Spirit of God again and again illuminated a special word at certain times, and thereby gave us direction, thereby could tell us and open our understanding so that we could recognize what is going on. Time has not stood still, maybe somewhere, but not here. Time has not stood still. Even in the earthly, if we wanted to stop our clock, time would still go on. And so it is with the divine course of time. We can't stop anything. Things are arranged by God and are moving towards their goal. And as the prophet says somewhere in the Old Testament, if the vision or the promise tarry, wait for it, it will surely come to pass. It will not tarry. We make no claim to be anything special, but God's people are special. They are a chosen possession. And if God the Creator has worked so hard to make a creation in which everything proceeds in absolute harmony, how much more will the same God, who has become manifest as Redeemer in Jesus Christ our Lord, complete the work of redemption on His own and establish the divine harmony that will not be broken again for eternity. We know that just as God completed His work then, so He is in the process of completing it now. And something that is being completed comes to a conclusion. It has reached the goal or objective, and the Lord's purpose is to have a church that has neither spot nor wrinkle, a church that has believed Him, that has been obedient. We read of the Lord Jesus in Hebrews that He learned obedience here in the flesh through His suffering, so that all of us who have to go through many things may also learn total obedience. God often uses suffering to do this. In some ways, perhaps not persecution, but God already knows what He should allow so that we are prepared and become free from ourselves inwardly, to become free so that He can become all in all. I believe that God has helped us to become free from ourselves, from all our own abilities, from all our knowledge, from all our desires, from basically everything that we could be or wanted to be, and have said, Lord, all is You. And to whom it has not yet happened in this way, it should happen quite soon. That we become free of ourselves and say, Lord, here we are, take us as we are. There is nothing that we can boast of, not even the slightest. Every step is God's grace. Every continuation in His Word is God's grace. Every illumination, every revelation of what is happening in this time, it is all grace. We could be sitting here, and we could be like the chairs we are sitting on, if the Spirit of God had not opened our understanding and our hearts, then we would be sitting here dead and would not receive anything at all that God has to give us. Since we have found grace in His sight, and He has helped us on the day of salvation, there is nothing left for us to do but to thank Him and praise His name, as we heard in the opening word. People on whom God has done such great things cannot remain silent. They cannot, even if they would undertake to do so. They would be like the prophet Jeremiah when he said, "And when I purposed to be silent, it burned within me like a blazing fire." And he said, "I tried hard to stop it, but I could not. It burned in my bones." We are very grateful to the Lord and have only one desire: to go forward with Him until we come from believing unto seeing. We have no desire at all to see or experience anything of our own. We have only one desire: to experience what God has intended for us. To see Him as living, as walking in our midst, as the one who began, and the same one will also finish. It only has to be certain that He has begun. Where He has begun, He will also finish. Where men have begun, He will not finish, but He knows them that are His. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. God's people are a people consecrated to Him, people called by His name and redeemed by His blood. We live in these days when He is bringing His work among His own to completion, to consummation, to the realization. And as Paul writes to the Philippians, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, pressing toward the mark." And when we are goal-orientated, walking on the way of faith, then our anchor is so firm, and God Himself will see to it that the work He has begun will come to completion in these days. And as we said, all things came into being by the Word, and without the Word, nothing happened. God spoke, and it happened. He commanded, and it was done. There was nothing that could stand in the way of His Word. He called things into existence out of nothing, through the Word of God. Where there is nothing, something great can happen. With God, all things are possible. He has all power in heaven and on earth. And this proves to us that He not only carries out what He wants in heaven, but also on earth. If it were only written, "All power is given to Him in heaven," and you see how you manage on earth, then we could be sad tonight. But He says, "All power is given to Me in heaven and on earth." And we are on earth, and His power is manifested here through His Word. and His word cannot return void. Our word fades away and has disappeared, but His word is quick and powerful. It accomplishes what He has sent it to do. It is sharp, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. All of us who have received this word have felt its sharpness. It goes all the way. And God calls into being the things that must be found in us or must be there if He is to take us over with Him into His glory. And we know that everything God does is done by the power of the Word, by the power of the blood, and by the power of His Holy Spirit. There are three who bear witness on earth, and these are these three. And I believe that in this we also strive for a balanced proclamation in our midst, that we experience anew the power of the blood and the power of the Word and the power of the Holy Spirit. For the Spirit is still working today and will continue to be effective in us until the work of God has come to completion. No one can take anything for himself except it be given him of God by grace, whether old or young, great or little. We owe the Lord much thanks. For I do not believe that a single person has sat in our midst year in and year out without God doing something on him. I believe that for each one, and if not always, then often enough, there has been a word through which the Lord has spoken and had something to say to the individual. He has also humbled us again and again and kept us low so that He might stand as exalted and great. The Lord God has all such ways and means. I was reading Psalms 85. Let me do it quickly. Lord, Thou hast been favorable unto Thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of Thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin. How wonderful that the psalm writer can express this here. You have indeed, Lord, granted mercy to your land. That is what we are talking about here. Mercy instead of judgment. He has given us grace to recognize and experience Him. Thou hast turned Jacob's fate. He has also turned our fate. He helped us on the day of salvation. And this help was revealed in that He forgave the iniquity of His people and covered all sin. Only the person to whom the Lord forgives iniquity and does not impute sin is helped indeed. There are many things that God is able to do, even outwardly, by many signs and miracles. How many have been healed without being helped? Outward healing has not yet helped anyone, unless what we read here happens. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of Thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin. Such people are helped for time and for eternity. And that is what the Lord is concerned with in these days. Thou hast taken away all Thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? How often have servants of God and the children of God been broken in prayer, have talked with God in their despair, and have sought his face in tears with a broken heart, and have poured it out before him, and the Lord heard them and blessed them. May the Spirit of God succeed in creating something new in all of us, in reviving us according to his great goodness and mercy, so that we, as his people, may rejoice in him anew. For the most part, real joy in the Lord only breaks through when a divine affliction and sadness has come upon us. That the Spirit of God leads us to repentance and breaks us, so that the joy can then come forth as the fruit of this repentance. And all this cannot be done with our own words. Only the Spirit of God can do it in all of us. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Every time the Lord revives his people, we rejoice anew. Then we are grateful to him, because he has done great things for us. God wants to make such people out of us, who come before his face with a humble heart and a broken spirit. And such people, who have experienced the greatest things with God, always find room for repentance, for bowing, for inner brokenness, are revived and raised up and rejoice anew in the Lord their God, who has graciously looked upon them and guided them all the days of our lives. The Lord himself will finish his work in all of us. He will not cease, but as he has promised, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. We wish it were soon. We wish the Spirit of God would come to our aid in such a way that the finishing, the crowning of the whole work that God has done throughout the ages, that it would happen. Of the Old Testament saints, it says in Hebrews 11, last verse, that they without us should not be made perfect. But then, probably in chapter 12, the same man of God says, we are come to the city of the living God, the new Jerusalem, the church of the firstborn, of just men made perfect. There is a church of the perfect righteous. It has existed in all ages, and this church exists even today. Let us not forget that when God wants to finish his work with his church, then we are all addressed and meant by it. This means that he wants to finish his work in me and in you, in all of us, and that we can be seen in his eyes as just men made perfect. as people who enter into His glory. And if the day is so near, what should be the state of all of us at this time? May He help us and give us grace to bow, to repent, to pray, to believe, to surrender, so that He may revive us and that we may praise Him anew and say, Lord, have Your way with me so that I may reach the goal You have set before me. And in that day I can say with Paul, I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth is laid up for me the crown of eternal life. May God grant us all this grace, that we would not have fighted and run in vain, but that we would reach the goal and be crowned on that day. And Paul says, not to me only will the righteous judge give this crown, but to all who have loved His appearing. May all these things be wrought in us by the Holy Spirit, is or should be our prayer. Amen.